Will you listen to the word of God found in Exodus chapter 6 and Exodus chapter 13? Reading from Exodus 6, verses 1 through 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand. He will let them go because of my mighty hand. He will drive them out of his country." And God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" And reading from Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. And neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Previously, when I shared with you, I shared about what happens when we take up permanent residence in what was intended to be a temporary place. Egypt was a place that God had provided for the Israelites during a time of famine, but it was never intended to be their place of dwelling and place of promise. Even Joseph told them that when you return, take my bones with you. There was an expectation that this was just to be a temporary place and that you would be going back to that land that God had promised with them. But as what happens with a lot of us is we get comfortable and we settle and we begin to confuse the place that we're at, the place of God's provision, with the land of what God's promise really was. And when you start to dwell permanently in what's meant as a temporary place, then enslavement takes place and you become trapped or entrapped or enslaved by something or someone. So God's desire, he heard the groan of the Israelites people, and his desire is to take us from the place of enslavement to a place of freedom and blessing, a place of covenant promise. So he wants to move us from here, where we're enslaved, to there, where we're free in his power and in his grace. And that will cause us that we'll need to move out of whatever comfort zones we have. You know, sometimes to move from here to there requires us that even though here's bad, we're comfortable. You know, there's more people that become comfortable in their misery because they know what to expect in that moment, in that time. They know what each day will bring, and they know what will happen. You'll find that even in like a relationships of abuse, that the person knows what to expect, and they're more afraid of what they don't know than what they do know, even though what they are living in is misery. So we need to leave that sense of comfort, and we need to move forward through our fears and start to leave the uncomfortable and move into the comfortable or into a new comfortable. And God wants to move us on that journey. He wants us, he's heard our cries, he's heard the misery, and he wants to take us from there, from that place to a new place of covenant promise. He wants to guide us, he wants to provide for us, and he wants to abide with us. So only when we move from the area of entrapment, enslavement, into the wilderness areas do we learn that God will guide, provide, and abide with us. The Israelites had lived in Egypt for longer than any time to remember what the wilderness was like. They lived there 430 years. So they were unaware, unfamiliar with what it might be like to have to travel and live under wilderness conditions. How many of you remember what it was like to live in Great Britain in the 16 and 1700s? Just Ed Boots. And he doesn't really know what it's like. He's just read a lot about it. So, you know, when we left England and came here, you know, we now, so many years later, we don't know what it was like to live in that era of Great Britain. The Israelites, the same way, they did not understand what it was like now to be living up in Canaan and to make that wilderness journey. They'd been in Egypt for so long that they'd lost any knowledge of what it was like to be in the wilderness area. That's unfamiliar territory with them. That's part of the reason why they're almost comfortable to just stay enslaved rather than to move forward, because they had no knowledge of what was required to be in the wilderness. They'd never been there before. They didn't know how to navigate in it. They didn't know how to survive in it. They didn't know how to find their way within it. But you know, God places before them, He placed before them someone that was familiar with that wilderness area, Moses, who also understood what it was like to live in Egypt. Moses spent 40 years of his life being trained by the best in Pharaoh's court, but also still maintaining his relationship as an Israelite. But then because of a bad judgment on his part and a killing, he fled to the wilderness. And there he lived for 40 years with his father-in-law and learned what it was like to be in that wilderness area. So he was an ideal person that God would send back to help guide them out. He knew what was needed. He knew what was necessary. For us, our wilderness journey, it's a spiritual journey. But it has physical manifestations. For us, our journey of enslavement is the enslavement and entrapment through sin and the darkness of the heart. But it manifests itself physically in the way we react and respond to each other, to God Himself, the way we behave, the way we live our lives. That's the physical manifestation of a spiritual journey. Some are still manifesting enslavement. Some are seeking to move into the journey. So holy living for us is unfamiliar because we've all come from a life of sin and brokenness. But like Moses, God has provided for us mentors and guides whose lives we can look at and we can study and we can learn from. You know, we can learn from the mistakes of others. We can learn from the successes of others. God has given to us many people which are guides to us into a new territory. First of all, the people listed in the scriptures, as we read through their lives, and we can see how Joshua responded in the wilderness, and how Caleb along with them, how they responded to the land. We can also look at David and how David would live his life dedicated to God, but still making mistakes, but how he would deal with the mistakes, repent, and turn his heart back towards God. We can look at the prophets, and we can look at Jesus Christ Himself, who was given to us as a guide. God Himself, the Word became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus came and lived in this world and showed us how a life can live in the midst of this culture and live a life of holiness in relationship with God and never having that lost. Through their lives and the apostles and the others in the scriptures, but then there's people that we can look to that we might read of their life or they might share with us. There are people like John Wesley, where we can see how he struggled and how he grew and how his heart was strangely warmed. There's people that in our modern day Billy Graham and others. Maybe you have Sunday school teachers or people that are in your family that have taught you and trained you and helped you grow and mature and know who and what God is and what God would have you do. God gives us guides, people that have walked into the wilderness before us, and they know the pathway, they know the hardships, they know the perils, and they can help us move ourselves from here to there through those difficult times. you need to make sure that you find someone to lead you and you don't just stumble along on your own. There's others that have lived before you successfully and accomplished a lot that you can teach. Now, as you move forward, you may feel that there's times where you feel alone on your wilderness journey. Times where that you need to realize, though, that God is always with you. There's guides, but God is always present. God has never left you alone. God goes before you and behind you. As we read in the scriptures, they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that meant that they were able to travel day or night because they could see at nighttime and daytime. They were able to move because God was always there. They were never left alone. God was the one that would lead them and guide them. Moses is the one that would say, let's follow this. I don't know if you've ever... do you remember the early GPSs? Not so much the ones we have now, but the early GPS that you would program in. Did you ever have a GPS take you to the wrong place? You're all saying yes. You follow it diligently, but yet, you know, somewhere in there, it doesn't get you where you want to go. I can remember trying to get to a spot in Pittsburgh, and it took us quite a while to figure out that one place where it said turn right really was turn left. And we'd end up on back alleys behind warehouses. And it's like, this is not where we want to be. And you remember the phrase, recalculating. What that means is you weren't listening. You know, how many times has God been trying to lead you, but there's a recalculating because you're not listening to what God is declaring to you. This is the way. You follow me. I will lead you. I will guide you. But you recalculate. It keeps recalculating. Or have you ever traveled with somebody that's supposed to lead you and guide you? And this is how they do it. You're supposed to turn back there. Anybody here, that person that does that when they're supposed to be giving directions? You're driving along, nope, they're so caught up in a conversation or whatever and said, oh, turn there. And so then you have to go turn around and come back. But the person you want with you is the one who's traveled the journey before, and the one who's paying attention, the one that is watching for you and saying, you know, up here by that sign, you want to make a left turn. That's what God does when he leads by the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, is that he's always out in front of us to watch and see what he does. He doesn't get too far ahead. He doesn't fall behind. He's always right there with us. Now, it's always easy to make the journey in the daytime. You know, you can see far out ahead of you. You can see what's coming. You can check the terrain. And it's easy to journey that way. But he came as a pillar of cloud by day so that we could journey in the easy times. But he comes as a cloud, pillar of fire by night so that they could journey in the dark. All of us face dark moments in our life. All of us have those moments where it's not easy to see what's next. We can only see a short distance. But God's always present. Part of the purpose of a wilderness journey is to learn faith and to learn to trust. And so we have dark moments of our life, things when things are, the pathway is rough and things are difficult and life does not seem to have much joy. And there's moments that we need to know God is with us, but I can't see the next step. Remember hearing a fellow that's probably in his 90s now sharing about when he was a little boy and they would go visit his grandparents in West Virginia that he said lived back in this dark hollow. And at night, when you had to go to the restroom, that meant a journey way out back to a little outhouse. He said they had rattlesnakes around there. And what they would do is they would give you a kerosene lantern to take with you. He said, so you'd stand there and you'd step out the door and you'd stand and hold that kerosene lantern and you're thinking about all the things that you could be afraid of as a young boy and uncertain of the path and you can only see far enough to make one step. So you have to put faith into that. And so he said you take one step with that lantern. But as you stepped ahead, then you could see enough for another step. And you take that step, and then you could see enough for another step. And it's about faith, is that God gives you enough just to be able to take the step, but you have to take the step. God is always with us, but He guides us, He leads us, but sometimes we have to have our faith in Him that I can't see the full distance of where I'm going, so I trust Him in one step after another. See, the wilderness journey, it's a faith journey. It's about learning that God guides, God provides, and God will abide. It's a faith journey where we learn and understand that there's more about our life with Him than just getting someplace. It's about building that relationship on the pathway and on the journey. The territory is unfamiliar to us, but we have someone who created it and someone who lived within it along with us. And it may seem overwhelming at times. Life may seem uncertain. The path may seem rough and challenging. But we are never alone. We're never alone. God gives us each other. The Israelites didn't travel one at a time. They traveled in a large group. We have each other to share with and to talk with. Now, some of the others have walked this path before. We have to move from our comfort zone. Move out of what we know as the norm, even though it's miserable. We need to leave that. We need to overcome our fears and step forward and trust God to reveal Himself to us. It's one of the promises in that first passage of Exodus is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I didn't reveal myself fully to them, but to the Israelites, I will reveal myself to you completely. So we have to move forward. Take the steps. Walk in obedience. Walk closer into His presence. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Almighty God, Lord, as we move forward to be Your people, Lord, to leave behind that which is not of You, not Your intended purpose for us, Lord, would You help us have the faith to follow, the faith to step forward. Help us, Lord, to trust in You to set the path. In Jesus' name.